I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to the Art Scene Podcast. Before I introduce this week's guest, I wanted to plug the latest exhibit over at Master Rainer Gallery here in San Francisco, titled The Cave. It's a dual show featuring the work of Naoki Onodera and previous podcast guest Tom Rasile. It runs till May 27th, so check it out if you're in town. Okay, so I have a short episode this week for you all. I wanted to check back in with my friend Noe Olivas, who was recently featured in the San Diego Union-Tribune as an upcoming artist to look out for and has a new show up titled La, El, Ellos, Ellos, Usted, Quinceañera, Quinceañero, which is up until May 3rd over at the San Diego Art Institute Project Space at Horton Plaza in San Diego. So here's our conversation about his new show and everything else he's been up to. Well, how's it going, man? I'm glad to have you back on the podcast.
I really appreciate it. Everything's been kind of, it's been really quite an experience the last, I got to say, like the last 4 months. It's been good. It's been really good.
Yeah, well, let's catch up. Like, what have you been up to?
Well, since the last time we spoke, I've been applying for grad school, so most of my focus kind of went towards that. I took a break from art making, but not a break from thinking about the art. And the whole luchador thing, I went over to Mexico City to check out the materials art fairs to see what's up, but also, you know, to do a little research and, you know, get drunk and go to the to the Lucha Libres, you know, and check out that whole thing, because that's part of the research of the culture of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got myself a mask and, you know, participated by, you know, just yelling at the wrestlers and, you know, getting drunk and drinking beer out of my mask, which was pretty, you know, I kept my mask on the whole time and was drinking beer. It was good. It was a great time, you know.
Well, I know you have a new show up, which I want to talk to you about, but I want to first ask you about, because this new art show, which is titled, it's like La, El, Ella, and Ellos, right? And then Usted, Quinceañera, and Quinceañero, right? Is that how you say
that's
it?
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. It's a little complex and a little long, and you know, it's hard to say, but I think it's something, the title kind of says it all.
I wanted to ask you about the artist residency because it came out of. Sure. So tell me about that.
So San Diego Art Institute has this residency program for 3 months, and they have a spot at Horton Plaza. It's a vacated. It's an empty store, you know, and what they did with that store was create an opportunity for local artists to do a 3 month residency. In that residency, you get a studio space. You get some funding to make your art, and at the end of the 3 months, you get a month show. And within those 3 months, you also get studio visits from curators and artists, and it was really, really good experience for me. I just kind of, you know, time crunch time, you know, it's just like getting the artwork done and, you know, thinking about having time to think about the artwork funding, and it was good. It was good.
And this is in downtown, right? You're talking about?
Yeah, this is downtown San Diego. So it's Horton Plaza is kind of a weird mall. Yeah. Just the way kind of the placement of it in the middle of the city, middle of downtown, but also just the architecture of it. It's just like very complicated. The stairs and to find stores is kind of a pain in the ass.
You're right.
But I think that's part of the whole like local San Diego experience is going through that mall, because a lot of tourists are going through there, and I noticed that. The only reason why I noticed that is because of the 3 months that I was there. Right. I usually don't go there as a San Diegan to go to the mall, but mm-hmm. You know, it was an interesting experience just to kind of see who's going through that mall.
Yeah. Okay. So this is it's in the mall. So it's like a spot inside the mall. Is it on the lower level of the mall?
So it is level one near the Broadway Street, and it's right next to Victoria's Secret. So you'll find it, and it's kind of nearby the grand stairs, you know, so you go up, yeah, the stairs, you take a right, and you'll see Victoria's Secret, and then below all that stuff is Levi's. So you're just kind of like in the entrance of Horton Plaza.
Yeah. And so our listeners know, so you know, this mall is a weird it's a mall downtown. I don't know, what is it, like 7 stories high or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And it's this weird labyrinth of a mall, outdoor mall, that you're just zigzagging and sometimes you get lost in.
So yeah, so that's interesting that that's the space that they ended up having it. How long have they had that space?
They had this space. Well, they had another space in the same mall, but just different location within the mall. For about, I think now 2 years. We're going on 2 years.
Right.
And the first tryout was that they donated the space to the UCSD MFA people. And what they did was, you know, they invited all the local galleries, and we kind of created a small little art fair of the San Diego galleries. And that was really successful, and they kind of saw that, and they just kept feeding off of it and turned it into a residency. And Ginger, the curator, sadly, she's leaving San Diego and going to Arizona to work over there at the Contemporary Museum. But she made it happen. She did an amazing job of just kind of organizing and, you know, bringing life into this art community and creating more opportunities for artists. So, I mean, I'm lucky to be one of those artists. And as a San Diegan, like, I'm proud of it, you know, to come out of this residency, because it made me create a body of work, and it gave me the opportunity to create that body of work and see it alive, you know. And it's been great. It's a good experience. Yeah.
So yeah. So tell me about your experience. You know, you were there for 3 months at SDAI, which is weird because, so in San Francisco, we have a San Francisco Art Institute, but it's a school. It's not, which is totally different. In San Diego, the San Diego Art Institute is like part museum, part gallery, right? It's the,
yeah.
Yeah. So how was it, you know, working over there? And was it, when you got the residency, it was, you know, you already knew going into it, this is the show that you're doing, that you have there right now. Is that the show that you were contemplating, or that came?
No, that's a really interesting question, because so the start of the residency was in January. And that's like right off the bat of New Year's, you know. And to be honest, I was kind of like, I had a couple ideas, and like you said, I was working with this, like the whole luchador thing and lucha libre. And, you know, I kind of wanted to do something along those lines. And I mean, taking that trip to Mexico was part of it. Like I wanted to create some luchador mask out of like tortillas, but actually getting it imprinted on like that really stretchy material, and getting the mask created by the people who create the mask for the professionals. So that was my research for that. But, you know, it's expensive, and there's a lot of time. And I wasn't really sold on the idea, just kind of like, in the sense of like understanding it, you know, like I needed more time to comprehend exactly why would I want to go forward with this idea.
Sure.
But at the same time, I was dealing with grad school applications. So out of the 3 months, honestly, the show came together the last month and deciding those decisions, because the 2 months I was just kind of busy traveling, visiting grad schools, and then constantly thinking about the show, constantly thinking like, hey, I can't let Ginger down, because, you know, they gave me this amazing opportunity. So I need to make a decision real quick. Mm-hmm. This whole quinceañera thing, like I've been thinking about it for about maybe about 2-3 years, actually, you know, just kind of like drawing these burlap bags for a while, and not necessarily knowing what I would do with them, just kind of like playing with these ideas and what it means, what does that symbol mean to me. And it's a very personal thing, because it's about my memories and relationship with my father, and going out with him as a kid to, you know, Saturday mornings, getting up and go working and cleaning other people's gardens for them for a little extra cash, you know?
Right, right.
So that was my job, and that's why I have that relationship with the burlap bags, is instead of like picking up machinery or like, you know, doing the cutting of the lawnmower, my job was to pick up these brush and put it in the burlap bags and create that knot. And over time, you know, as I grow up, like these memories are very precious. And also kind of like looking at the aesthetic of it, like those burlap bags stood out because it's a sculpture, you know. So to me, I see it as a sculpture, and the whole process of it, of the labor.
So yeah, and that goes back to, you know, I think the last time we talked about, you know, your exploration with the labor of love and its relationship with leisure, and how it related to like Mexican American identity as a Californian. But like, how did that care? Well, I guess first, actually, if you could describe the current show, and then how did that, you know, that idea, that exploration carry over into the topic of quinceañeras.
Sure, sure. So, like I was mentioning, doing this as a kid, and you know, I started really thinking about it critically in the sense of like this idea of labor and the entrance into manhood, but also the politics of gender role within the labor of working outside, men working outside, women working in the inside, the house, and well, at a young age, you know, you just don't know, but like, you know, looking back on it, this was a way that my father was teaching me how to survive. Like, you need to work in order to survive. And they come from Mexico, so like they had to do every little thing they could for their family, for us, to make, you know, things possible for us, for their children. So that was just part of it, just growing up and working. But, you know, I would work outside, you know, with my father, always working with my father. And there would be times that I would go with my mother and clean houses, but I wouldn't necessarily help her. I would just sit back and do toys, play with my toys. Mm-hmm. So then as an adult, you know, I kind of look back on those memories and I'm just like, shit, like I should have been helping my mom too. I should have just kind of, why did I just like help my dad? But also kind of like thinking of like this entrance into manhood at a very young age. And then that idea of womanhood, you know, of the quinceañera, like that's what it means, is like the entrance into a womanhood, from child to womanhood for a woman at that age of 15. And you know, I was kind of thinking about it, and also like in relationship to my sister, like how she never had a quinceañera. Mm-hmm. And like asking my mom like why didn't Macy have a quinceañera, and just like the economical side of it. Yeah. But also the politics side of it, of what a quinceañera means. So I was like started playing around with those ideas, and I have been playing with this idea of the masculine and femininity, and how to make masculine objects more feminine. Mm-hmm. Or the in this case, like this burlap bag and what that means. And so what I decided to do was to create 15 drawings of these burlap bags, and I drew them on a 15. It's a triangle, obviously representing like the vagina, but also kind of very abstract too. Not sure like what if it's that, or is it playing with like this idea of this party too, you know, like those triangle party flags. Mm-hmm. But also kind of like playing with, it could almost symbolize like as like one of my friends saw it as like this like a symbol of like you know, like the varsity patches, you know, so this idea, mm-hmm, of high school too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that was really nice comment of his, because I didn't see that. And started playing with those ideas, and you know, decided to make a quinceañera dress out of burlap bag, and as well kind of like put hints of lace here and there. And I collaborated with a fabricator in Tijuana that they specialize, it's a family, and they specialize in making quinceañera dresses. And it was awesome working with them, because like there is this one economical exchange with them, but also like getting them like to do projects out of their comfort zone, because we had multiple discussions of the fabric, how it's going to lay, how it's going to look, what's it going to mean.
Sure.
And as well pushing their skills as fabricators. And at the end of it, they were just like, you know, we're going to copy your design. I was like, good, you know, so y'all can make some money. And that's part of the exchange, you know?
Sure.
And developing those relationships. And part of it too is, you know, when I was talking about the economical side of it, of like, you know, quinceañera is a lot of money. You know?
Oh yeah, it's
an investment, you know, and
it's basically a small wedding.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I totally mean. I mean, like, you know, my sister is the same thing. She never had one too, and the big reason was the economics of it, and she was more interested in like a sweet 16 birthday party with friends, rather like that was a lot cheaper than just like a whole on. I mean, have you been in quinceañeras?
I've been in multiple quinceañeras, so I have a feeling of it, and like being like, you know, doing the buzz and all that stuff, and trying to, yeah, it's crazy. But then like also realizing that, you know, the family is like getting this much money to do this party, and then also asking for padrinos, like godfathers, for padrino for the cake or for the dress or for the flowers, you know. So it's like a very community thing, but dealing with money.
Right.
And like for us, like I was thinking, like, man, if we had a quinceañera for Macy, like, we don't necessarily have too much family here in San Diego. All our family's in Chihuahua, Mexico. So like we can't necessarily ask. And if we had a quinceañera, probably wouldn't be in San Diego. It would be in Chihuahua because sure. most of our family's there. And we would have to ask for money. And then like that whole asking thing, like even though like I understand that the family would be okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult to ask for money, just to talk about money in general.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, I was just kind of thinking if my little sister had a quinceañera, then we would be all put to work and, you know, trying to work for what she wants. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, questioning, like, is that something that she really wants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a way that she can use this money another way? Because like the tradition of a quinceañera is like, you know, it's basically teaching a young woman how to be a woman, but in the sense of like you're gonna cook and clean and you're gonna have a kid and you know you got to prepare them for like marriage, but that's like the old tradition. And like the new ideas have been shifting lately. I can't say lately, but just kind of like in conversations with, you know, people back in Mexico, my family and as well the women in my family, like asking them like what's going on with the quinceañera, how people perceive them now. But like for Macy and out and talking to my mom is like, you know, I like that's not my little my sister's a strong woman. She's a strong woman, and that doesn't represent her, you know.
Yeah.
Like she's not the type to like she's not a stay home mom. She's a and not to say that's wrong to do that, but she chose another career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and more power to her, you know.
Hmm.
But you know, it's just like interesting just to see just that relationship and this the tradition behind the quinceañera. Hmm. But also thinking about like, you know, hey, like why like this whole gender role thing, like why do women get quinceañeras and why can't I have a quinceañera?
Right.
Know? So
right.
That whole O comes into play too, is like me, like what about my entrance into manhood? But my entrance into manhood was at a very young age, but not realizing it.
Mm.
Just working in the fields, you know, or working with my dad in the gardens. So it, you know, I just kept playing with those ideas, and then at the end of the day, you know, like I was just more interested in this idea of the feminine politics and how to cultivate it. So like that's what it ended up being, is just like how to cultivate, how to maintain a feminine politics, and as well keep put it into practice for myself. And through the work, you know, it's kind of like understanding all these topics through the making process. So that's why this work was really important for me to make, because I'm starting to see, I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, that like starting to see all these pieces as like little book reports and respond to bell hooks' writings. So like, and for me as a Latino, like it's pretty important to touch on this topic, because like growing up and, you know, like this whole machismo thing and kind of like seeing its correlation to the patriarchal culture, and I just kind of been feeding off this work, man, just kind of like really interested in this stuff, and I'm excited about, you know, further research about it and further understanding of it and continuing to practice these things. And it's through the artwork where my understanding, where I'm gaining my understanding, and as well creating an opportunity for dialogue with one, the women in my family, but also other people. And it's been great to hear other people's voices about this topic, because that's, I mean, for me, that's the way I'm going to learn. So I'm using these pieces as a tool to create opportunities to learn and listen.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the title, man. Why this long title?
Well, I mean, like, it's interesting because, like, the long title is just kind of like thinking about, like, being in Spanish class, and then it's kind of like thinking about the verbs and past tense and all that stuff. And the title was kind of inspired by this other print piece that I'm making a print that it's my dad's saw blade, and it goes through like tu, yo, usted, but the next word that follows is chingas, so yo, tú chingas, you know, like, you know, and it changes, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it's definitely, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, a lot of my work deals with either, like, materials or objects that don't necessarily make sense bringing them together, but, like, creating a language that blossoms into something rich. And, like, that richness, I'm comparing it to the ideas of Spanglish. Mm-hmm. And being brought up in that type of culture of my mom speaking to me in English, or speaking to me in Spanish, and then switching up to English. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, like, how, like, that's not considered prestigious, but to us is a very beautiful, intimate thing. And applying that to my artwork and applying that to these objects and playing around with those things. So it's very much dealing with the language. Mm-hmm. And as well, gender, you know, the whole, like, what is it, binary, fluid, non-binary, you know, just kind of playing with those ideas and trying to educate myself about those things and realizing, you know, like, some people might not identify themselves as a he or she, just as a person, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm playing with the la, él, ellas, ellos, ustedes, you know, just mm-hmm. using that they, mm-hmm. you know, just them or there, you know?
Well, isn't it interesting too, like, it's in Latin American, you know, Spanish, that there's so many different verbs just to describe, like, male, female, even, like, you have to change, yeah. like, just normal, like, nouns or, like, adjectives yeah. just to reflect
that. Yeah, and that's the one thing that I consider, especially with this whole quinceañera thing, because one of the things that I kept thinking about, too, was my cousin. She identifies herself as a woman, but she's a gay woman. And she had a quinceañera, and this whole tradition does not represent yeah. that whole lifestyle, the queer sure. lifestyle.
Sure.
And I haven't had a dialogue with her yet, but I'm curious to, like, talk to her about it and her experience of the quinceañera and see if she appreciated it or not, or misrepresented her mm-hmm. or you know, I'm just curious about what she has to say. But I sure. kept thinking about her because, you know, she dresses, you know, she's a gangster. She got her Jordans on, her jeans, she got a clean white shirt, she's all lined up, you know.
Yeah,
she's dope. But I'm curious to have that conversation with her, because, like, a lot of that's kind of, I'm taking inspiration from my family and those memories, you know, and kind of understanding the politics of gender sure. and as well the role of labor
sure.
Through this work.
Well, you know what's crazy, too, about the quinceañera, you know, talking about, like, role reversals. I feel like, at least at the quinceañeras I've been a part of, that's, like, the one of the few times where, aside from my own mother, of course, living with my mother was the boss in our family. But, you know, like, going to those quinceañeras, I mean, the quinceañera herself is, like, bosses everybody. I mean, it's her surrounded by a bunch of dudes. And I remember going to all the practices for the dance, you know, and stuff. I mean, it was like, she was like, it was like, you're a different person. You're, like, super bossy. Why are you super bossy? Because it's, like, their day. And it's, like, one of the few events, ironically enough, that they really run the show, like the women run the show. It's their ideas. They're the ones decorating it. They're the ones planning it. And really the males are supposed to pay for it. It's kind of like the idea, right? Like there's different godfathers, like padrinos, like you say, you know, paying for different parts. But the event itself, what it represents traditionally, is part of the traditional, like, culture of, like, you know, you know, they stick to the traditional roles of women, you know, like where the women get praise and, like, and, you know, for the most part, I mean, to be honest, quinceañeras is like parading this woman who's now become a woman. Now everybody in the town gets to see her now, and she's open for being courted by men. I mean, that's really what it is, but it's yeah. just, yeah. But it's ironic because it's also the planning of the event. They're the roles reverse.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it in that way. That's really interesting that you brought that up.
But, I mean, and it ties in with your title. You know, you can, with this event, you can just replace the verbs and the, you know, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's interchangeable, the gender roles.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this work, you know, I'm it's just I see this work as just like this like a leap, you know, to something else. Right. You know, I had only had like basically a month to create this work, so I want to create more drawings. And the final installation was these 15 drawings pinned up on the board, and there's five of them in a row, and there's three rows, and there's five in each row, and then in front is the dress, but the dress is on grass, and it's sod, so it's real grass. So like there is like this grass, this live grass, you know, and then also thinking about the transition of it because it's gonna die, and thinking about like, you know, maintenance of grass, and for me like that symbolizes the maintenance of this feminine politics, and the grass was cut out into the shape of a triangle just to mimic the drawings as well. But and then above it is a disco ball, so you experience this whole thing with the disco ball lights, just kind of like to activate the space, you know. And as well, like kind of like seeing like the just flashes of if you're looking at the drawings or the dress, just flashes of detail, and kind of like this like swirl, because, you know, like for me, it's just, you know, it's you know, as a male, you know, I'm it's hard to keep up with this politics and understanding, and it's just kind of like a turn, you know, and like I want to understand it, and these are glimpse of lights, you know, glimpse of epiphanies or things that were there and I'd never seen, you know, just like opening up my eyes for the first time, you know. But and it's there's no music, it's just a quiet installation.
And that's
what I, because it makes you, I mean, for me, I want my viewers just kind of like be one with the space, be one with the objects, and kind of like take it all in, and like you know, they could create their own music if they want, but there's just that sweet silence, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like the music would kind of then take away from the piece, right? People are just now feel like they're actually in a party rather than actually focusing on the work itself.
Yeah, because there's more of a complex idea behind this idea of a party and the meaning of a quinceañera, you know, and then like the different ideas of the labor aspect, you know, using the fabric of burlap as that symbol, you know. There's I want to leave my viewers, and when they leave the installation, like I want them to keep thinking about these things, you know, because I'm constantly thinking about it. I'm overwhelmed thinking about it. Sometimes I need to stop thinking about it because I'm just so obsessed with this, you know. Yeah, it was cool, man.
Well, what did your family think?
They loved it. It was one of those you know, it's kind of interesting, like the work that I'm making right now, because like the reactions that I've been getting is like this, like my work has changed a lot, but it's become more beautiful, you know, more graceful, more intimate. Even the drawings were like, I could have done these life-size drawings of burlap bags, but I brought them down to a very small scale. It's just very, I mean, just very quiet and beautiful, you know, and like you really just kind of have to listen and let the work kind of speak to you. And that's kind of like the approach I'm taking to this, this whole feminine politics, is just like realizing that, like, for me, like, I need to calm down and just listen, you know, because that's my role. My role is not to speak right now. My role is just to listen to this politics, you know?
Yeah. Well, what's coming up for you next aside from grad school? What were you hoping you to go to grad school? How about that question?
I man, that's kind of hard thing to say right now. I got to the 15th to decide where I want to go, and the schools that I applied to and I got accepted to was Temple, Tyler School of Arts, Northwestern in Chicago, and then USC. And all of them are all great schools. All of them have wonderful faculty. And also the students there are amazing. It's going to be a tough choice, because anywhere I go, I understand that it's going to be a great experience, because each institution, the city, and the people offer amazing things.
What attracted you to those three universities?
They're all small schools, funded. USC kind of went up 2 years ago. They had like this breaking point of not funding, no funds.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
and they're trying to get back on their feet, and they hired amazing faculty, you know, Suzanne Lacy, now Bustamante.
Oh, wow.
The list goes on and on and on. Yeah, it's cool. It's a great opportunity to go to these campuses and visit and meet all these famous artists, and knowing that they want you to work with them, and I also want to work with them. It's a hard decision, you know. And in each school, that all of them are offering me a great an exceptional offer, you know, as far as financial aid.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough, but I'm leaning towards USC.
Okay.
Because it's the West Coast, you know, I'm gonna be close to my family, but at the end of the day, I really have to kind of sit down and make this decision for myself. And I mean, you know, I'll be listening to my parents. I ask my parents what they think. You know, they're talking about the whole economical side. You know, it's like, no, the school's offering you a good amount of money. You need to go there.
Yeah.
But if school offers you good money too, you go there too. You know, because we obviously want you to stay home. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. Like, each school is great. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the other day, Suzanne Lacy, one of the faculty members at USC, gave me a call, you know, and just to, like, knowing her work and just, like, wow, like, this superstar artist gave me a call from her personal phone. I can't believe this, you know. And then, like, you have the other schools, like, hey, Noé, like, we want you too. So, I don't know. I'm happy to be in this position. I understand that it's a privilege to be in this position.
Yeah.
I change my mind every day. One day I say USC, then the other day I say Northwestern, then I say Temple. So I don't know, man. I can't answer that shit yet.
Well, no matter where you go, will you be taking that that truck with you?
That's a really good question. I've been debating about that because it would be interesting to do a whole road trip all the way out to Philadelphia or to Chicago. Mm-hmm. But the expense of it is just way out of my budget.
Yeah.
And if I did go to the Midwest or the East Coast, I probably would leave that project behind or sell the vehicle. But on the other hand, if I stayed on the West Coast, it would give me an opportunity to keep building on that project.
Sure.
When I am, the idea of it excites me a lot.
Right.
Because that project has a lot of potential. I don't think it's reached its fullness yet, and I haven't taken advantage of it, you know, as myself as an artist.
Yeah.
Because before I used it as, you know, for other artists, and now it's just like, you know, I got to make this opportunity and this decision as soon as possible, because, like, it excites me, you know, to see what's going to happen to the Untitled space.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so how about local shows? Any more local shows?
No, I'm going to take a break, man. I mean, there is this thing. I mean, I smoke pot. 420 is coming up. I've thought about doing some things with that, but, you know, because with the step band, it being like, you know, an homage to Cheech and Chong, you know, mm-hmm. and that culture. But as far as that, you know, to be honest, you know, maybe I'll do something for that, maybe not. I'm just going to chill. I'm gonna chill and just kind of, like, work on some more work. And I don't think I plan the show for a while. School is coming up in fall. I'm really excited about that, just to learn and be in that whole academic environment and to be learning. But I don't know. Opportunities will arise. One thing I do have on my list that hopefully I do get to is the Sculpture Center in New York. Mm-hmm. They have a open call proposal. So all you artists that are out there, I definitely recommend to sign up for that, you know, send out a proposal, because it's just a great opportunity. Whether you get it or not, it's just a good exercise thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And if your artwork relates to it, do it. I know my artwork definitely relates to it because of the vehicle of the Untitled space. So that's one thing that I have on my to-do list. But other than that, just, like, I'm taking it easy. I'm going to chill. I'm gonna go to Joshua Tree soon after this.
Yeah. Congrats on the show.
Thanks, Louis. I appreciate that.
Yeah, congrats on getting into those schools. Also, congrats on being in the Union Tribune, because that's a whole other cool thing, right?
Oh, you saw that shit.
I did see that.
Oh, man, it's embarrassing.
Oh, man. How was that experience being interviewed for the paper?
Yeah, you know what? To be honest, man, like, I thought it was related. When they hit me up, I thought it was they were just going to talk about – I thought they were going to put, like, a blurb about the show. That's it.
Right.
You know? And then, like, you know, I did the interview, and I did the interview with Maya. She's a wonderful person. She's dope. We had a great conversation. And, you know, I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. And then they hit me up for the photo shoot. And it wasn't until the photo shoot that I realized what this thing was for. And, like, I'm talking to the photographer. I'm like, so what is this exactly? You know, I mean, why am I taking these photos? I really don't know. Yeah. But I know that I can't say no to opportunities like this, you know. So that's sure. why I'm doing this, you know. He's like, Noé, you know that, like, you're like top or like six people to watch out in San Diego in the art thing, you know. I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, like there's a writer, there's a scientist, there's a dancer, there's a theater writer and stuff like that. I'm just like, what? Like, really? Like, people are watching me? That's kind of scary. And you know, and then afterwards, like, oh, cause this is such a cool opportunity, and like, it's such an honor that, you know, like, just working hard and next thing you know, people are hitting you up and they're interested in you and interested in your artwork. And it's cool, man. I'm like, definitely like excited and thankful about it.
Sure.
But it's sort of embarrassing too, because, like, you know, you have like this, like, images in the newspaper of you kind of like looking like a model and stuff, and then like people. You know, your brother's just calling you out, like, man, your hair look like shit. You know, and like another friend, like, why did you wear that purple shirt? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I just didn't know what was happening. You know, and it's funny, but it's like kind of like one of those things that, like, you like, fuck, I do look stupid, and I don't know why I did this. But, like, you know, 10 years from now or whatever, like, you look back on it, it's a good laugh. You
sure.
know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool, man. Well, how long does the show go to?
It's going to go to the end of the month.
Okay.
Of April. It'll be up. Gallery hours are from noon to 5, but you could find my information on my website, noeolivas.com. Just hit me up if you're interested in seeing it. If you're down in San Diego, if anyone's down or whoever's listening to this podcast, you know, like, hit me up. I'm more than happy to, like, take you around. I'm more than happy to tell you about the show, you know what I mean? That would be cool, you know?
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for this week. If you want to learn more about Noé's current show, be sure to check out his website at noeolivas.com. Remember, it's open till May 3rd, so be sure to check it out before time runs out. I'll be sure to post up the link to his feature in the Union Tribune on the website so you can read more about it. And finally, to listen to past, present, and future episodes of the Art Scene podcast, visit artscenepc.com. And be sure to follow the podcast on either Instagram or Twitter at @artscenepc. And once again, thank you to Richie Cunning for the intro music. All right, till next time.